This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.MuslimCentral.com/donate. This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.MuslimCentral.com/donate. This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.MuslimCentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected Asatizai Kiram, Ulamai Kiram, dear friends and my beloved elders in Islam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left a very vital and important lesson for us when he said to us, "Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatihi," that each and every single one of you is in the position of responsibility, and each and every single one of you will have to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the responsibility Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted you with. And when a person has a responsibility on his shoulder, he automatically becomes a leader in that certain matter, because he's taking care of it. And today, inshallah, we will talk about the lessons of leadership from a prophetic paradigm, and how the Quran demonstrates and defines leadership in the Quran through the lifestyle of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we talk about the leadership of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quran first and foremost defines two essential qualities of leadership, and that happens when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran, and he is introducing Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the humanity by revealing the verse, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. There came a messenger to you from amongst you. It is very effective to have a leadership from amongst the people. What that means is that not only for the future generation, but looking forward into the future of the community, we should be concerned, we should be worried about creating leaders from within the community. The young men and women we see in our generation, we are supposed to be worried about them, how to mentor them, how to cultivate them, how to build them into the leaders of tomorrow. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this very effectively. He constantly worried about this. It comes in the narration of Muslim of Bazar. He mentioned Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, particularly in the era of Medina. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam constantly had 20 young men around him who would sit with him, talk with him, eat with him, learn from him, sleep with him, wake up with him. The likes of Abdullah ibn Umar, the likes of Abdullah ibn Amr, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Anas ibn Malik, Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And that is why there is no surprise that the future generation at that time was in safe hands. It was in good hands, because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam worried about them. And the Sahaba, the 20 young men I'm talking about, they did the same with their future generation. It comes in narrations that a man came to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, asking a question regarding tafsir, Now Abdullah ibn Abbas was the master of his field, yet he pointed towards his student Dhahak. He said that, go and ask my student Dhahak, he will answer the question better than me. Do you think Abdullah ibn Abbas never knew the answer? He knew the answer, but he was creating a leader for the future generation. It comes in another narration that a man came to Abdullah ibn Umar asking a question regarding seerah. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who pointed towards his student Muhammad ibn Ishaq, and he said that we were there at the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We were with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but this man Muhammad ibn Ishaq will narrate the whole incident to you better than me. Abdullah ibn Umar never knew the answer. He knew the answer, but he was creating a leader for the future generation. And that is why, respected elders and friends, Islam flourished in that era to such an extent that all our scholarly heritage goes back to that particular generation. It goes back to the same generation. And on the other hand, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam took Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu under his wings, and he started training him, he started teaching him. Although Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu was only 20 and something years old, what happened is a group from the tribe of Banu Salima came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking for a separate musalla, asking for an imam to lead salah for them. Now Hazrat Mu'adh is 20 years old. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Uthman, Hazrat Ali. Yet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Why? Why did he choose Mu'adh ibn Jabal to go and lead salah with them, to create leaders for tomorrow? Nevertheless, Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala, who goes with the people of Banu Salima, and like everyone, in the process of learning, Hazrat Mu'adh made a mistake. He made a mistake. The people of Banu Salima came back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam complaining that Hazrat Mu'adh is prolonging his salah. And we come back from work late, we are tired. And Hazrat Mu'adh is leading long Isha salah. In fact, one man came and said that I feel like skipping my congregational prayers. I feel like I shouldn't perform my prayers. So what did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? Did he play the higher and fire game? Or did he say that, you know, this is the problem with the youth, we don't want to involve them? No. He called Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He reprimanded him. He explained to him the right manner. And he told him, oh Mu'adh, now go back to the same place, to the same people, and lead the salah in the right manner. That is how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam created leaders for the generation. It comes in narrations that this same Mu'adh, who was making a mistake in his young age, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered into Makkah on the occasion of conquest of Makkah, and when he decided to leave, he made Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu in charge of Makkah. He made him in charge of Haram. He made him in charge of Kaaba. Such a great responsibility was put upon the same Mu'adh who was making a mistake in his young age. And towards the end of his life, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Mu'adh that, oh Mu'adh, now go to Yemen and teach the people of Yemen deen. This was the methodology of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we have to understand, we have to bring in this perspective of cultivating and the right fostering society and environment. We have to understand the same methodology of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that is the first quality, to choose a leader from amongst you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the second quality. Azizun alayhi ma anittum, harisun alaykum bil mu'minin raufur rahim. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to feel the pain of others. He used to understand the pain of others. He was worried about the well-being of others. That level of empathy, that level of care and consideration, where you are not only worried about someone else, you are worried about someone else whilst you are worried less about yourself. You are worried less about yourself. You are sitting with the people, talking to them, smiling with them, laughing with them. That is another quality of leadership. That is another quality. And I will prove it to you from the lifestyle of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After the battle of Uhud, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in so much pain, so much pain. He was brutally injured. His lips were busted. His teeth were broken. His face was bleeding. He lost his cousin, about whom he was supposed to break the news to his aunt. He lost his uncle, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, who was not only killed and martyred, He was mutilated. He was cut into pieces. The Sahaba mentioned, when we saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam standing on the body of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, there was so much pain in him that we could hear his chest grinding. There was so much pain. He lost his 70 companions, his friends, his relatives, his students. But after all the pain in his heart, he had the ability to look across the room and find Hadrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala who was seated in a corner, who's also crying because he lost his father in the same battle. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there with his pain, and he looks at Hadrat Jafar with his pain. What does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? He puts his pain aside and he walks up to Hadrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala. He hugs him, he embraces him. And then Hadrat Jafar starts crying. Hadrat Jafar was a young man. He was only 20-something years old, and what happened is that he had seven younger sisters with him. And the day before, the father told him, if I have to die, you will be taking care of this seven younger sister of yours. So within a day, from brother, he changed into a fatherly figure. So that Jafar is crying on the shoulder of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives him a shoulder to cry, and he says to him that, oh Jafar, don't stress, don't worry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored your father. In fact, when your father fell down in the battlefield, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel with wings who was covering the body of your father so the sun does not touch the body of your father. That level of empathy, that is leadership. What happens after the battle of Mut'ah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receives the Sahaba, and from the Sahaba, he loses one of his close cousin, Hadrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and his adopted son, Hadrat Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Imagine the pain Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be going through at that time. But still, what does he do? He goes to the house of Hadrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He calls the wife of Hadrat Jafar, Hadrat Asma, and he says to her that, oh Asma, where are the children? The children are brought forward. He hugs them. He kisses them. So Hadrat Asma says that, O Prophet of Allah, has something happened? Why are you treating my children like orphans? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Hadrat Jafar has passed away. So Hadrat Asma starts crying, and she starts to say, what is going to happen to my children? They won't have a fatherly figure as they grow up. Who's going to take care of them? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that, O Asma, don't worry. I am there for them in this world and in the next. I am there for them in this world and in the next. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, he just didn't say it. He fulfilled his responsibility. Many a times what happens, that out of emotions, we make a commitment. And then later on, due to responsibilities, we forget. We are human beings. But look at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes back at his house. And then he tells Fatima, that, oh Fatima, the household of Jafar is preoccupied with the issue of Jafar. So send food for them. Till 3 days food goes from the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the house of this widow. And then later on, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to find out that the hair of those same children, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took responsibility for, the hair started growing longer. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, he, the leader of this humanity, he, the leader of this universe, sends a barber to cut their hair, to cut the hair of these children. That is the leadership of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is what is missing in us today, respected elders and friends. These are the two qualities we need to firstly have in us. The first one is that we are supposed to create leaders from amongst ourselves. And secondly, we are supposed to have pain for others. We are supposed to have empathy for others. This was from the Quran. Now I would like to narrate an incident to you from the life of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which highlights towards two another qualities of leadership. In the 9th year of Hijrah, a lot of people started accepting Islam, entering into the fold of Islam. And that is why that year is known as Amul Wufud, the year of delegations. Delegation after delegation, tribe after tribe, waves after waves would come to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would accept Islam. And amongst this tribe, there was one tribe by the name of Banu Abdul Qais. This tribe had accepted Islam, but they were only coming to take the pledge of allegiance from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they were coming from very far, and they had a very long journey. As they reached the masjid of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stated that they just came down the camel, they forgot to tie the camel, they left the camels, and they entered the masjid without offloading all the luggage. Now imagine someone just comes with a car, leaves the door open, leaves the car just the way it is, and enters in the masjid. And not one, but a half a dozen of people. So that is what happened. The people entered the masjid, now came the leader of the same tribe, Hadrat Ashaj radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He came, he saw that the camels are untied, he said to himself that this is inappropriate. So as a leader, although he was missing out on the gathering of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a leader, he started tying all the camels. And then he started offloading all the luggage. And then he changed his clothes because he was from a long journey. He put himself in good clothes, in clean clothes, and then he entered the masjid. When he entered the masjid, to his amazement, he finds that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is seated quietly, and that the people of the tribe are seated quietly. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not speaking. So what had happened is that when Hazrat Ashaj was tying the camels outside, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the people of the tribe, "Who is your leader?" And they said, "Ashaj." "What is he doing?" "He's tying the camels." So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to stay quiet until Ashaj has to arrive. Then when Hazrat Ashaj radiallahu ta'ala who comes close, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ahlan, welcome, welcome." And the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives him place next to him. And he sits there, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam starts to advise. And as he's advising, he looks at Ashaj, and he says to him that, "Oh Ashaj, inna fika khaslatain. There are two good qualities in you. Yuhibbuhum Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those two qualities. What are those qualities? Al-hilm, forbearance. In other words, a very wise and a thoughtful approach to things. You have this quality in you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it. And the other one is al-anat. You have soothness, calmness in you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that as well. Now respected elders and friends, I will divert your attention to the same hadith which I started the talk with. Because someone might say, how is this whole leadership thing related to me? Or how does it pertain to me? I'm not an imam in the masjid. I'm not a president in any board. I'm not a principal in any institute or in any organization. Then no. What Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'oolun an ra'iyatihi." Each and every one of you is in the position of responsibility, and each and every one of you is going to be answerable for his responsibility. What's wrong if you are not an imam? You are still a Muslim musalli. What is wrong if you are not a president of any board? You are still a Muslim citizen of your country. What is wrong if you are not in a political situation or position? You are still a father or a mother in your house. You still have responsibility upon you. And respected elders and friends, today from the many crises this ummah is facing, one of the greatest crises is the crisis of leadership. We are witnessing it on a political landscape. We are witnessing it right in front of our eyes. We have to create leaders for tomorrow. Let us listen to what Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi said. Hadrat Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi said, "Ummalukum a'malukum." That the people who will govern you are the people who will be a direct reflection of your actions. And then he goes on, "Kama takunu yuwalla alaykum." The way you will be the kind of leaders you will have above you. In other words, what he's trying to say, that the leaders which we see on a greater level, on a higher level, are a direct reflection of our leadership. If we don't fulfill our responsibilities as leaders in our society, or in our community, or as leaders in our family, in our homes, then there is a fear that there will be a negative spiritual impact in the system all the way till up. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the right understanding of deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the leaders of tomorrow. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. An important announcement. If anybody has any outstanding business,